McNulty's done incredibly well to get up above Cargill and find Bennett. It's into the box. McNulty, cut back for Roberts. It's Gary Roberts for Bobby. Bobby are leading in the fourth round of the FA Cup. Mark McNulty, but a good chance by Doyle. For McNulty on the edge. Mark McNulty, scores for Bobby. Smashes it past McCormack. Won by Doyle. Finished by the returning Mark McNulty. First left blood for Bobby. They're in dreamland early here at Fratton.
There's a through ball to Jamal Lowe. Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, fantastic, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
That is it. Pompey are champions. They won League Two in the most dramatic of circumstances.
The PO4 podcast with Hugh Bunce, proud to be Pompey.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 219 and a half of the PO Forecast. So by the time you're listening to this, you will know the result of our Good Friday game against Wycombe Wanderers. We are recording currently without any of that information on Thursday night. So if our optimism is now misplaced, then apologies. So you are just with me, Andy, this evening. Hugh and Freddie are either having a social life or at work. I'm not sure which. But because it's such a big game on Tuesday against Derby County, we wanted to bring you a specialist Derby preview. And who better to provide that Derby preview than Chris from the Rams Review. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the PO Forecast.
Good evening, Andrew. Yeah, no problem. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Good to have you on. Let's start with a very generic, broad question. You're sitting in second place in the table, currently 5 points behind us, having played one more game. How has the season been since we last saw you at Pride Park and scored a fairly late equaliser?
Oh, you had to bring that one in early, didn't you?
Straight away, yeah.
We haven't pulled up any trees. I think the Paul Warne style of football has split our fan base down the middle from the word go, and it still remains that way. Even in second place, I wouldn't say that we are particularly good on the eye. Now and then we have our moments where we can be spectacular, but they're few and far between. I think we're pretty fortunate in a way, and I say this not just me, but I think many would agree that the league isn't the best. In fact, it's pretty poor. And I think that the fact that we're second probably tells you all you need to know regarding that the league and its standards. We've had some ups and downs. Like, we had the good old classic vote of confidence on Paul Warne back in October when Stevenage gave us a good shoe-in. And I think we went as low as 13th or 14th then. But since then, since he got his dreaded vote of confidence, he's done okay, and so far, touch wood, although we'll come to it at some point in the pod, the older legs and the older statesmen of the team have got us through, but we'll see how long they can last with the final furlongs approaching. You know, these old legs are getting older and more tired by the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at your results recently, it seems to be a case of one step forward and you think, yep, okay, making a bit of a drive here. And then you decide to suddenly take a step backwards as well. So, I mean, losing away at Barnsley is probably an understandable result. I think they're a difficult place to go. But, you know, losing at home to Nathan Jones's team, you know, was he on the new manager bounce then? Charlton at home, yeah. And then you get that massive 3 points at home to Bolton in a game that all of us watched out of, obviously, we're very invested in the result of that game. And you think, okay, that's a bit of a gap formed between Derby and Bolton. We were all cheering you on in that one in the big scheme of things. And then you take a step backwards, losing away at Northampton Town. What's causing the inconsistency? Is it just the quality of the players not turning up week in, week out? Or is there a sort of a more basic problem there?
That's a really good question. I put it down to complacency. I think the Northampton game, I was saying on our podcast, we warmed up really poor. There was just something about the warm-up that didn't sit right with me. There was no real effort or enthusiasm with it. It was almost like they got to Six Fields and they thought that the 3 points were in the back pocket. It's just a case of turning up, you know, playing the game, scoring a couple of goals, and out we go. And Northampton, to be fair, they didn't water their pitch, which I think was a bit cheeky. And they know that Derby County play a fast counter-attacking game, and we need that ball to zip. The ball was incredibly slow. I don't know if Pompey had the same issue when they went there, if you've been there. They also kept the ball in the air a lot. and it nullified our game. It was good. You know, that's what they're there to do. Home advantage taken on board. The Bolton game, was it deserved? Debatable. We weren't at our best, and I think Bolton missed two really good chances with a couple of worldies by our goalkeeper that kept us in it. Or we could have easily lost that. But it's, as you said, it's our season up and down. You know, we go to Northampton winning four on the bounce, and then we go and get beaten by a team who hasn't won in a month. So we call it the Derby County way.
Yeah, 100%. With the Northampton point, it's a bit of a weird one because we've just seen them pick up so many points against teams throughout the season. But both times we've played against them, they have been really poor. I think it's the aggregate for the season, is it 7-0, 8-0, something along those lines? And they've not looked good against us. But to be honest, we're not complaining if they keep picking up points against other teams around us in the league. In terms of what we can expect to see from Derby in the game, you mentioned the pitch being slick, being something that benefits you. You'll definitely find that at Fratton from having seen us home and away quite a lot this season. Away fans that we've had on the pod have commented after the game on the number of players that are almost slipping over. The pitch seems to be a lot wetter than a lot of other pitches in League One, so that might potentially suit you. But in terms of sort of style, in terms of, you said it's not too pretty on the eye, in terms of formation, what are we likely to see from Derby on Tuesday night?
If you'd have asked me that question 2 weeks ago, I would have said three at the back, a 3-5-2, which is Paul Warne's philosophy, and all it has been. But we've just picked up injuries literally by the game, and then some innocuous ones, even away from football and during training, to the point now where I think our injury list is 10 or 11, of which we can come on to. So I think he'll resort to a 4-4-2. He'll put as many square pegs in square holes as he's got. I think it'd be very dangerous to go to a 3-5-2 with what he has. We're down to two centre-halves after Sonny Bradley decided to headbutt a Northampton player on the very last kick of the game, which was bizarre and has really kicked us in the teeth. So we've also got Craig Forsyth, which is on the injury list, who was another backup centre-half. So I think you'll see a 4-4-2. We normally try and play quite expansive from the width, but Mendes Lang is also on that injury list, although we have been told that he may play some part. Who knows? Paul Warne plays his mind games with not only the opposition, but also the home fans. You know, we think doom and gloom after the Northampton game with Mendes Lang out and what have you, and all of a sudden we're told yesterday that he's training no problem. So you will see probably Corey Blackett-Taylor come into the equation. He was our sort of, we call it a big signing because he's the only money we've actually been able to spend under the restrictions. He hasn't started really well his career at Derby for whatever reason, but I think the time has come for him to come and show his true worth. And he could be the hero. So expect one of those either side. Down the middle, James Collins is back. We've missed him badly. He's been fantastic for us this season. We had Dwight Gale came in to replace him, and guess what? He got injured too. So I think you'll see Collow up top. Barkhausen is another player that was on real good form recently. He's out. So I think you'll see a rigid counter-attacking formation. I don't see any other way that we can even remotely challenge you. I think if we try and play a 3-5-2 with what we have, you'll just pick us off.
Okay. I mean, with Corey Blackett-Taylor there, you'll be glad to hear he's had quite a lot of success against us in the past when he was at Charlton. He's one of those players that sort of brings back some quite unpleasant memories to a lot of Pompey fans. So we'll probably be hoping not to see a huge amount of him, to be honest with you, in the game. I wouldn't be devastated if he twisted his ankle. Not a major injury, just a little tweak against Blackpool, so he misses the game. But yeah, you mentioned on the injury front there, sort of the Mendes Lang, sort of James Collins injuries. We've been as confused as anyone with that. Our little group chat was really quite pleased in the least malicious way possible to see Mendes Lang out. We were all like, oh, that's a potentially quite a big moment in the season. And then suddenly he's playing 3 days later, potentially against Blackpool. So we're all a bit confused by it. So it's going to be a case of, yeah, waiting waiting for the team lineup to come out, I guess. You've got Blackpool, I mean, as we record tomorrow, but by the time people listen, yesterday, getting confused with my days of the week here because it's a bank holiday weekend, yesterday or day before yesterday, one of them, depends how quickly we get this out. In that game, Blackpool's away record is not good this season. However, they came to Fratton Park and turned us over 4-0 at Fratton Park. Them and Leighton Orient are the two teams that have really taken us apart this season. What are your expectations from these two games combined? Like, what's a points total you think is both realistic and necessary? They might not be the same answer for Derby for automatics.
So that's a great question. Blackpool turned us over early doors in the season, both in the league and in the cup. They're a very Jekyll and Hyde team, aren't they? And they're still mathematically challenging for the playoffs. And I think it's going to come down to, I think they will pip Stevenage and Oxford to spots. Whether, I think Lincoln are obviously their main challengers, who are just a crazy team on form at the moment. I think it's two different types of game. I actually tipped Portsmouth to win the league this year on our podcast at the start of the season. I thought you were very difficult to beat last year, and I was really impressed with your goalkeeper. And I think you went something like 9 or 10 draws, something crazy towards the end of the season where you were unbeaten in 10, or you had 9 draws. And I just said to the guys on the podcast, that's a team that will go places, because, you know, under a new coach, a new regime now, he stopped the rot of defeats and he's plugged the gaps. All you can do now is go forward from that. And I think Blackpool is a different one compared to you guys. They don't travel well, you're right. I think that Derby will have a black and white day against them. There'll be 30,000 there, as you know. But like yourselves, we have a fantastic support and fan base. I think it'll be scrappy against Blackpool. I don't think it'll be anything like the flowing football that we'll see against Portsmouth. We are predicting low-scoring game against those guys. We'll come out with it with a 1-0, with a deflected goal off someone's backside for all we care. We just want to get out there, put the 3 points back on the board, and ultimately put the pressure on the others, and then go into Tuesday night. Ultimately, I think this is the defining game of the season. I think if we turn you over, it will give us great confidence going into the last five. I think if you turn us over, I think 3 points from Blackpool won't be enough. So, going back to the original question, we'd like 4 points minimum. I think there's more twists and turns on the way.
So if I offered you a point on Tuesday night now, you'd, and said it was guaranteed, you'd shake my hand on it and say, okay, no need to play the game, cheers, and go back, would you?
I would personally. I think a defeat, psychology-wise, is far more denting than losing 2 points. I think if you get a point but play well, it keeps the impetus going from hopefully a win against Blackpool. I think what we don't want is 2 defeats. I think 2 defeats will really put a strain on any chances we've got of getting that second spot.
I think you're in potentially quite a good position as well. With after the game against us, you're running those final 4 games. Wickham away. I'm not going to comment on how difficult that game is, because by the time this goes out, we'll have played them. So if I say it's a really comfortable game and we've turned over 3-0, I'm going to look like a prat. So I'm not going to comment on that. But then Leighton Orient at home, and then finishing up with Cambridge away, Carlisle at home. You know, those final 2 games in particular. I mean, yes, we drew 0-0 in a bit of a bore draw away against Cambridge earlier this season, and the Carlisle game, at least one of them, we snuck a 90th minute winner or something along those lines. So they're not gimmies, but Carlisle are likely to be down by then. Cambridge may well be down by then. And I'm just thinking in terms of goal difference, to be honest with you, Chris, because at the moment you've got the best goal difference in the top three. And if you go into those last 2 games, knowing that you either need to improve your goal difference or just consolidate and grind out a 1-0 or a 2-1, potentially gives you a bit of an advantage compared to, you know, let's take our run in, for example, where we're finishing off with Bolton away, Barnsley at home, Wigan at home, and Lincoln away. And Lincoln apparently now score 5 every game without breaking sweat. Apparently that's just a thing now that we have to just accept as the new normal, like we did with lockdowns. That's just what Lincoln do. So I think potentially, yeah, in terms of the run-in, I mean, you've just got to make sure, if you're 4 points clear of Bolton and you've got your final games of Cambridge, Wickham and Carlisle and Leighton Orient to come, then surely at that point you're thinking, this shouldn't go wrong. I know you're never going to say that you're up, because I'm not saying that we're up at the moment. I don't think many Pompey fans are, but surely if you can maintain that 4-point gap for the next 3 games, you're thinking, yeah, this is probably done and dusted.
I'm trying
to put some fake tempting words into your mouth, Chris, because if you tempt fate, that's great for us.
You know what? I don't think Bolton are the problem. I just have a feeling that I'm looking at Bolton's running now, and they've got Stevenage away and then Reading at home, and both teams are fighting for their lives. Stevenage are fighting for that playoff spot, and Reading are still in the fight down at the bottom. So And then they go away to Bristol Rovers, who are a team like Northampton. You just don't know what you get with them, do you? And then they play your good selves home. And then they've, well, they've got three home games on the trot, and then they play Peterborough away. So I just think they'll stutter. The team I worry about is Peterborough. If you look at their running, they've quite easily got the best running out of the four that are challenging. If I bring in Barnes into that equation, I think of the eight games they've got left, I think five are at home, if I remember rightly. And if I remember rightly, most of those teams that they're playing are around the bottom or have got really nothing to play for. And Peterborough at home, as you know, I don't know how Pompey did against them.
Well, at Peterborough?
Yeah.
Yeah, snuck a 1-0. It was our last game, snuck a 1-0, but
yeah,
I think we were the first team to stop them scoring at home this season or something along those lines. And to be honest, they hit the woodwork and they, I don't know what their XG was, but they could very easily have got something from the game.
Yeah, well, we beat them 4-1 at that place and that raised a lot of eyebrows. But I'll be honest with you, Martin Waghorn had the 17 minutes of his life. He scored a beautiful hat trick. Well, they absolutely battered us second half. I think we were 4-0 up at half time, if I remember rightly. And they battered us second half. And since then, I think that gave them the kick up the derriere that they needed. And since then, they're on fire. I don't think Barnsley were the problem to us, both Portsmouth and Derby. I think Bolton will stutter, and I think Pompey will probably. And Derby will be the people who decide who comes the champions. Because I don't think you're out of the woods yet, to be honest.
I don't think we are either, Chris. No, absolutely not. I mean, we've still got you at home, Bolton away, and we've still got Barnsley. And as I said, Lincoln as well is not a gimme. So, I mean, none of them are gimmies, are they, in this league? We've not lost against any of the top eight at the moment this season, but we have dropped points against Cheltenham and Fleetwood. So no game is a gimme, is it? Let's be honest. Yeah, Peterborough's running. They've still got to play Port Vale, Fleetwood and Cheltenham, who potentially, even with something to play for, and Carlisle, sorry, at the time of recording, which would have been played by the time this goes out. But all of those games, you'd
think there's 12 points there, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you'd imagine they're also going to improve their goal difference quite noticeably in the process, you would think. So hopefully with them, teams like Oxford and who knows, maybe last day of the season, we'll both be cheering on Bolton. That'd be a strange turn of events, but that could be a thing that happens. Who knows?
It's a huge game, isn't it, that one?
Oh, yeah, hopefully it'll be deciding third and fourth and we'll just both be too drunk to even care what the result is. But time will tell. Chris, we'll finish off with your score prediction, please, if you don't mind. So a score prediction and any goal scorers for the game.
I think it comes down to, do we come out of the Blackpool game unscathed and at what level of fitness James Collins and Mendes Lang are? I think the Portsmouth game is going to be far more expansive than Blackpool, as I said. It's interesting. I'm not sure how you guys are going to actually rock up and decide how to play. I don't know if you're going to go for the juggler and try and get this league won over the weekend. If the results go with you, you could go into the game Tuesday night against us thinking we can pretty much seal this.
I don't think we'll go for the jugular. I think from the demeanour and the mannerisms and the personality of John Messina and the coaching staff, I do think it's one game at a time and then you accumulate the right to celebrate at the end. I don't think it will be a sudden change of tack. We've played pretty similarly over the course of the season with a bit of there has been the occasional change up in formation, but I don't think we'll suddenly try and sprint to the finish line. I think it's quite a measured approach you just get from hearing him speak that I would imagine would be more likely.
Okay, well, based on the possibility of having Mendes Lang back and Corey Blackett-Taylor, obviously puts the fear of God in you guys. I'm going to go for a smash and grab 2-0. I think that if you keep that pitch zippy and you allow us to play to the width, I think you'll be in trouble if Collins is back, especially. I think if you narrow us, and if Messina has listened to this, then I've obviously let the rabbit out of the hat. But if you make us play narrow, we do tend to struggle down the middle. So, but I'm going to go for a 2-0.
Awesome. Okay, we will go. Surprisingly, I'm not going to go with a 2-0 Derby win, Chris. It might surprise you. might get pelters from our listener base. So I'll go with a 1-1 draw. And I'm saying now that I would be fine with that. And I'm hoping that that doesn't age badly after we've just lost at Wickham. If we lose at Wickham, I think it changes things. I think if we've lost at Wickham by the time this goes out, then we need to pick up the 3 points, to be honest with you. And it might change how we approach the game slightly. But if we won at Wickham, I would, yeah, snap your hand off for a draw. I'd take the 4 points from the two games as well. The direction or the place that those 4 points come from doesn't matter a huge amount. Obviously, it'd be nice to get a nice net gain over you guys. But if we can go unbeaten from the two and pick up 4 points, it's a win, essentially, for us. And then obviously we're all cheering on everyone that plays Bolton. ABB, anyone but Bolton at this point. Or ABP, anyone but Peterborough. Cool. Chris, where can we find you? Where can we find the Rams Review? Do you want to give them sort of a bit of an X plug or a Instagram plug or a Facebook plug, any of those?
Yeah, we're on all platforms, and we're at Rams Review Podcast. So, yep, feel free to share and follow us. There's two or three podcasts that around Derby County. We'd like to think we're up there with one of the best. So, yeah, good luck on Tuesday night, Andrew, and long may it not happen. Well, let's hope it doesn't happen for you on Tuesday. It happens for us, but hopefully we'll see each other in the Championship.
So you're wishing us luck, but not enough luck to get anything from
absolutely
the game. Just absolutely. Just the right
I'm not,
amount,
I'm not,
Chris.
Awesome. I'm not that generous.
Thank you very much for your time. This has been the PO Forecast. We will speak to you guys soon with our Derby review coming out later this week and our Wickham review as well. So until next time, from episode 219 and a half, which is our first ever half episode, play up Pompey.
You have been listening to the PO Forecast for Pompey News Now. Available on SoundCloud, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Follow PO Forecast at Pompey News Now on Twitter for more information.
And there is the full-time whistle!